So our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke 10, and I'm going to be reading from verse 25, and I'll be reading from this, the Pew Bible, because sometimes that thing hooks on, but you all it just stops. So if that stops, just listen to where I'm going. Okay, so the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and all of your strength and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on by the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him." The Greek word there, splancheo, means you actually was moved in his bowels, but in a holy way, not in an inappropriate way. "He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring out on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of God. If I had to give today's sermon a title, I would call it The Samaritan Twist. Now, I know it sounds like a cocktail, but it's not the intention. There's a certain themes or passages of Scripture in the Bible that's normally, I don't know about you, but I don't like reading them. I like, however, to skip over them. And these themes or passages of Scripture, as you engage with them, although you've got the desire to avoid them, you actually have to lean into them, because when you do, God actually changes something in you. It's not easy. It's not comfortable. It's not lacquer. It's not like, he's going to open up heaven and I'm going to be rich. It's not that. This is totally different. And this story is one of those stories, because it touches on one of the fundamental themes in the New Testament which we would like to avoid. So the story starts, we couldn't read all of it, but Jesus had sent out 72 of his disciples, and they came back with the mission report, and they were telling him, "Lord, it was amazing. Everything that we saw, everything that we experienced." And then he begins to debrief them. And part of the debriefing was that he spoke to them about authority, and he saw how the devil was cast out of heaven. He actually ended up praying while he was debriefing them. He said, "Lord, Father, I'm so grateful that this, you didn't leave for the highly intelligent people, but you left it for the simple ones, the children." And he with the 72, he ends up saying to them, "But listen, guys, do you know how blessed you are to have experienced this, to have seen this? Because all the prophets and the ones who've gone before you longed for this day, and you are in this day." Now, in this debrief, there was a lawyer who was within hearing distance of what Jesus said. We don't know what he was doing there. We don't know exactly, but something of what Jesus said upset him. So he wanted to set a trap for Jesus. He wanted to test him in the sense of trying to get Jesus to step away from the law, or, you know, incriminate himself in one way, form, shape, or other. But Luke tells us he asked Jesus this question to trap him. And the question that he asked him is, What should I do to inherit eternal life? Or in our way of talking nowadays, okay, Lord, what should I do to be all right with you? Or in some of the circles in the church, they would say, what kind of life that I would do I need to live that you will bless and reward? You know, that's the idea. Now, every single Jew knew the answer to this question. They could recite it by heart. Before you could say mama or dada, that was what you had to recite. You know, that's how the Jews were in terms of Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with basically everything that you've got, your mind, your soul, your body, your strength, everything. You've full package. And at the time of Jesus, also, Leviticus 19, your neighbor as yourself, have started growing as a equal value to that, equally important truth. And so the lawyer knew, as a Jew, he would knew this was the answer. But the problem with it is it's easy to fake. You know, let's be honest about it. It is easy to fake to be a Christian or to say you love God. It's really, really easy. So you can look the part if you dress up nicely. If you're one of those guys that wear a cross around your neck, or in my case, don't know how to wear it, make a tie, and wear a dog collar, those type of things, people just assume, you know, this guy's a Christian. Look at him, he even waves at taxi drivers, you know, that type of thing. He doesn't swear at them like a normal person should. You know, it's easy to fake being a Christian or your love for God because you can't really see it. And so in this process, the Jewish lawyer actually stands up and he says to Jesus, okay, this is what you need to do. You need to love God with everything that you do, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says to him, well done. Abba Fana, well done. You know, you did well. No, just go and do it, and you'll live. That response, Jesus not wanting to be drawn into an argument, but sending him back to what does the Bible say? What does God say about what is pleasing to him? What do you read there? The fact that Jesus didn't want to argue with him actually forced this lawyer into a choice. Because even though it is very easy to fake that you love God, okay? If you're all honest, all of us are honest, we actually have to admit that we can't really do it. Not with everything. No. Yeah, it's like, or at least Charlemagne, we can't do it. The rest of you, you look at me like, okay, what's wrong with you? Yeah. Well, we can't. But that, instead of the lawyer admitting to Jesus, saying, yeah, no, I can't do this, I need help. He wanted to save face. He wanted to, what Luke says, wanted to justify himself in verse 29. So he turns to Jesus and says, okay, Jesus, let's get technical. Who's my neighbor? You know, who's this neighbor that you're talking about? Yeah, she's not sleeping today. She's talking along. Today is a good day. One of my secret gifts is if your children ever struggle to sleep, just phone me. I'll start preaching and they'll fall asleep within 2 minutes. I promise you, I've got that gift. I can see it on everybody's faces on Sundays. You know, I've got that gift. And we were joking about it last week. The moment I start preaching, she falls asleep. Today is a good day. She knows it's going to be a good sermon. Anyway, so Jesus begins to tell this story. And he tells the story of a man who travels from Jerusalem to Jericho. Apparently, I haven't been there myself, but apparently at that stage, very, very dangerous trip to undertake. And this man gets duly robbed. You know, it's like the R59 there, close to Vereeniging. Apparently, you need to be sure that you don't stop anywhere because it's quite dangerous there. Anyway, this man gets robbed. He gets left there for half day. And then two guys who are supposed to know who their neighbor was, two Jewish guys, come along, the Levite and the priest. And we don't know why they didn't stop. We don't know. There are quite a lot of possible reasons. When the road was dangerous, the Levite and the priest had to be ritually clean. You know, there's so many reasons. We don't know. All we know is that these two guys see the guy lying there and they take the long way around, they ignore him, and they're on their way to where to towards Jericho or whatever they're supposed to go. Then a Samaritan rocks up. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I preached about, we spoke about the Samaritan woman at the well. And it's one of those things that you can tell people, listen here, the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. But if you actually go and look at scriptures, have you ever read in John 8 where Jesus is fighting with the Jewish leaders? The biggest insult they could give him. When he quieted them and they couldn't, it was like, ah, you Samaritan. That was to them a swear word. In actual fact, a good Jew would wake up in the morning and he would pray and he would say, God, give me this day my daily bread. And they had this whole prayer. And part of that prayer was, and let there be no Samaritans in the resurrection. I kid you not. This is what they prayed. This is what they prayed. Every single, that's how much they hated one another. And Jesus, the master storyteller, comes and he says, and a Samaritan rocks up. And he is moved with compassion. His bowels is moved. He feels it here. And he stops. He binds up his wounds. He picks up the guy, puts him on his donkey. He gets his hands dirty. He takes him to the inn. Those two silver coins, he pays his rent for 2 months. And he tells the guy, listen here, no matter what you do, no matter what you do, as long as it takes, whatever he owes, when I come back, I'll cover it. You know? And Jesus turns to the lawyer and he asks him, so, who was the neighbor? Now, the lawyer cannot even get himself to say the Samaritan. He just goes like, the one who showed mercy. You know, that's how far he can go. And Jesus says to him, go and do likewise. Now, this whole story is so uncomfortable because you cannot remove the kingdom of heaven from social justice. Heaven values our actions and our actions of mercy, compassion towards people, you know, and not just the people that we like or the people that are look like us or smell like us or do like us or think like us. You know, even those idiots at work or those people that's from that different political party or those other people, you know, oh, that family member, you know that one? If you don't know that family member, you're probably that family member. But the thing about it is we... This is we think it's easy to be nice to the people that you like. However, this has got the when Jesus tells the story, he takes it and he says heaven values the compassion to much more than the people who are just like us, to the people who are easy. And the lawyer, when he wanted to push this point, instead of admitting, when you say it like this, I can't love. Instead of doing that, what he wanted to do was he wanted to justify himself. And when Jesus responds to his push, you hear the Matthew 25, you know that story of when Jesus talks about his second coming? He divides people into goats and sheep. I'm not going to divide you here because some of you might feel I want to be a sheep rather than a goat. I'm not sure. But he divides all people into two groups. And then people ask him, but on which grounds do you make this division? And he goes like, well, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me water. I was naked, you clothed me. I was in prison, you visited me. And both sides of the group goes like, when did we see you, Lord? When did this all take place? And then he responds by saying, what you did to the least of these, you did to me. And that's uncomfortable. Okay? It is uncomfortable because think about this. How are we doing in terms of compassion? You know? If we're honest and we take this seriously, we think to ourselves, oh man, I'm a goat. Yeah, that's where we go, and it's not greatest of all time. It's more like I'm going that side. Because we know ourselves, we know how we battle, we know that we struggle. We sit there and we think to ourselves, this impacts eternity, and that's why we want to avoid this whole thing of how do you treat the one that's lying there, the one that can't help himself. What do you do with that one? The one that you know you're not going to get a reward with. The one, like the Jews and the Samaritans, the one you actually wish wasn't there. What do you do with them? I told Tony before the service, this whole sermon has actually been just me praying for myself, preaching for myself. So just realize I felt like a goat this whole week. You know, so it was tough in so many ways. But that is the question. That is the question. What makes it so uncomfortable? Am I not a goat? Because I don't have that compassion. I don't have that love. I don't do, you know, what that Samaritan did. Best way to explain it is to refer to leaves and fruit. So you've got two trees next to one another. The one tree, no leaves, no fruit, nothing. Just the stump with the branches there. Other tree, leaves, fruit on the branch, the stump and the branches. The leaves and the fruit does not make it a tree. It does not define it as a tree. The leaves and the fruit just show that tree has got life. The tree without the leaves and the fruit, you actually think, it's either dead or sick. In the same way, when you look at heaven, it's not a question, this whole question of social justice and what Jesus highlights, it's not a question of salvation. It's a question of where's your source? Where do you draw life from? And all through the New Testament, Jesus makes this point where he says, if you draw the life from me, this is what will happen. This is what the fruit that will come out. You won't have to work for it. It will just be there. And when I say it like that, what happens to all of us? Our inner lawyer stands up. Isn't that true? Because we sit here, you think, I hear what you're saying, Jacques. I hear you. But have you met that guy? Or what about, listen, that guy drank his whole future away. No. We want to give reasons. We want to justify instead of admitting, just like the lawyer, that we can't do this. Loving God with everything in us and our neighbor like ourselves, we can't do this. Not on our best day, downhill with the wind from the back. We can't do that. We have these glimpses every now and again, but we just can't do it. It's beyond us. But when we start wanting to justify, saying to you, no, let's talk about this. Because, Jacques, let's talk rands and cents. How much? I was to say, obviously, this Samaritan must have been rich. He was a tenderpreneur, you know, because he could pay somebody's rent for 2 months, you know, those type of. We would want to justify because actually we think we can do it. We think that we can love God with everything, and we think that we can love our neighbors like we love ourselves. And this is why I would title today's sermon, A Samaritan Twist. Because when we read the story, we actually think about ourselves, well, okay, am I now the Levite? In my case, am I the priest? You know, professionally, I'm the closest to the priest, you know. So am I that guy? Or am I the Samaritan? Did I have a good Samaritan day today, you know? Did I take care of somebody? You know, did I get my hands dirty or what did I do? The problem is, we're none of the three. We're the guy on the road. We're the guy who got beaten close to death, got robbed, left for dead in the road by the one who came to steal, kill, and destroy. And we think that we can do this. But until you and I realize, but I'm not one of those three. I'm the guy in the road. And Jesus is actually the Good Samaritan. Up until we realize that, we cannot love. Because it's only when you've laid there, it's only when you look at the people around you and you go like, I actually cannot love these people. They make me so angry. I just want to rip their heads off their shoulders. When you sit there and you're confronted with your inability to do the very fundamental thing that Jesus says to the lawyer, this is level one. This is Christianity 101. And you realize, okay, I can't do this. And you experience how Jesus comes and he heals your wounds, how he picks you up and he takes you to a different place and how he pays the price for you, how he takes care of you while you're in no position to reciprocate. It's only once you've realized, I'm that guy, that you're able over time to begin to love those that are not lovable. Just like the lawyer. Heaven's theme of social justice, of loving the unlovable. Heaven's value of, okay, how do you treat others? It starts with a choice. And the choice is, will I admit that I can't? That I actually don't care? And let's be honest. We care about the people close to us. But for the most part, if it goes beyond our first circle, our second circle, we don't care. We're not close enough to people to care. And we come and we justify and say, but you can't love everybody, you know. Can't do that. Again, it's missing the point. When that standard gets put before us, the idea is, from heaven's side, is just to say, hey, admit that you can't, that you're lying helpless in the road, that you've been beaten, wounded, halfway to death. If you admit that, that is the first step. But if you then allow an offensive Samaritan, if you allow that grace, that healing, if you allow that in your life, eventually you will be able to love. You'll be able to produce the fruit and the leaves that show people that is your source. Choice before you today is this. Where do you choose to be? Are you the one, the Levite, the priest, even the Samaritan? Or can you admit, like Shal and I have to, we're the guys beaten up lying in the road, and we can't do this? Because if you can admit that, then this table becomes a place. Tony, will you come and help me? This table becomes a place of healing. Because this is the place where we testify and we confess, by his stripes we were healed. By his blood we were cleansed. He stepped in and he paid for us. He stepped in and he healed us. He stepped in to our worlds and he transformed us. It's in this place here at this table where you come and you confess, I'm the guy in the road. Jesus, save me, because I can't do it. And just like the guy was picked up and Jesus paid the rent for 2 months, this is not, it's not a quick fix. But it's a fix that starts by admitting what you are or not and what you are. And as you and I do that, healing comes. As you and I do that, restoration comes. And at some stage, we'll stand on our own feet. And guess what would be the most natural thing to do then? Because you've received love, grace, and forgiveness, you will be able to reciprocate. And that's what this is all about. So I want to invite you this morning. This morning, I'm going to put, Colin, if you come to the front as well. Oh, this was here for the water. Oh, it was strategically placed. I'll stand like this. Yes. I should have. I sometimes forget we've got the camera. Lord, have mercy on us. This is the Lord's table. But this is the table for the ones who are in trouble. This is the table for the ones who actually know when they look at their lives, I don't like you. I don't care what happens to you. This is the table for the ones, for whatever reason, that are lying in the road. If you are that person, you are welcome at the Lord's table. Because this is the table where He gives healing, restoration, forgiveness. This is the table where He comes and He says, I'll pick you up. I'll pour out my oil and my wine over your wounds. I will heal you. I will restore you. Yes, it's not going to be overnight, but this is me picking you up and bringing you to the place of full restoration. Now, if you need that, you're more than welcome at this table. Listen to Paul when he says, listen here, if you don't need it, if you think you don't need it, rather not have communion. You've read that in 1 Corinthians 10, where he says people drink a judgment upon themselves and they eat a judgment upon themselves. Comes to this point where they think, well, I don't need grace. I don't need His help. So that's your choice. Nobody can force you to that. But if you like me, a sinner who needs grace, if you like me, somebody who lies there, then I want to invite you to come to this table and to receive healing, grace, and forgiveness. This table does not belong to a church. Okay? So you don't have to have signed a membership form to be able to partake. This is the table for the ones who say, Jesus, please pick me up and heal me. Does that make sense? So I'll pray over these elements, and then I'm going to serve these two handsome gentlemen. If you smile like that, seems like you don't think you're that handsome. Okay? So I'm going to serve these two gentlemen then to my side, and then what they will do is they will come and serve you. But allow today to be a day of you admitting, you inviting. That's the goal of today. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we firstly have to confess that we so often believe that we can do this thing, that we can live life, and that we actually have got it in us to please you. Father, we're so wrong. But we ask in the name of Jesus that you will forgive us for this deception, this belief that we've got. We confess that we can't do this. We confess that we're actually the guy who's lying beaten up in the street. That's us. We're unable to heal ourselves. We're unable to help ourselves. We're unable to do the very things that we know you require. And we want to confess that today. But Lord, as we do that, we want to ask, everything in us yearns for you to come and pick us up, to bring healing to those wounds, to take us to a place where we can recover, a place where we can regain strength, and to a place where life makes sense, and that we become that which you intended us to be. That's our heart's desire. And we draw close to you, Jesus, in the hope this morning that you will do that, that you will be for us the Good Samaritan. We give you our wounds, we give you our brokenness, and we ask, Lord, pour out your blood, pour out your wine, your oil, your healing. Restore us, Lord. Rest upon these elements of bread and juice. Let them become for us your body. Let it become for us your blood. But set us free. Heal, restore, deliver us. To the glory of your name, Jesus. Amen.